The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m., or it might be Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. We're on twice a week to talk about your career, dissect the job market, look at the talent pools, look at the economy, try to put it all together and come up with a plan and a strategy for how all of us can be successful in the workplace. I have a busted show today, folks. That means my guest that I had planned for the show, who was going to talk about how to accumulate wealth, which I thought would be a very worthwhile segment to do. But he got the flu at the last minute, and that brings to mind another story. But instead, I got only the best guest I could have possibly gotten, Maria Fry, who you all well know quite well from this show, and also from her amazing ECNY work that she does in economic development. We'll talk about, give you Maria's background in a minute. But first, let's have a little fun. So I was going home from work three Mondays ago, and I don't feel well. And I don't know what's wrong with me, but I just don't feel well. I start coughing. I go home. I get to bed. I don't wake up till the next day. And my wife says, you got to go to an urgent care. You got to go somewhere. And I said, call an ambulance. I said, I cannot get out of bed. I can't move. I am paralyzed. I had 103.5 for 5 consecutive days, never dropping, even though I took Tylenol. I had a brain... sort of, you can't call it a headache because a headache doesn't do it justice.
An explosion
in my head, pounding for 5 straight days with no relief. And then the coughing was just virulent and just robbed me of my voice. I couldn't do a show. I have not done a radio show here at the studio for 4 weeks. And I did have a couple of preemptions from the Islanders, but that's okay. I was sick anyway. I couldn't have done a show. I had no voice. I started coming back about 8 or 9 days ago. I'm feeling pretty good now, about 90%. Certainly not infectious or anything, Maria. But if in the words of Apollo Creed, you don't want none of this. Okay.
There we go.
You see somebody that's coughing, sneezing, stay away, wash your hands, do what you got to do. This was one of the worst I've ever had. I'm sure it has something to do with my age. Probably could have fought it off a lot better if I was in my 30s or my 40s. But now that I'm in my 90s, it's a lot different.
Oh, so, God. At least it's not the 500 that you gave us usually.
No, because that was 400 years ago.
I'm sorry, that's right.
Okay. Anyway, we are going to talk today about an even better topic with Maria Fry, which is, how do you find a job in this crazy digital age we live in with artificial intelligence overwhelming everything? It's like an overlay over everything. Now, I have to say, I use artificial intelligence. Okay. I've got a blog. If I have a question and I'm looking for data, I'll just ask Gemini, listen, how many people do this? How many people, I get my statistics from it. I double check them and then I use them. So I find it very helpful. I'm seeing a lot of AI on LinkedIn. Suddenly, if you want to send a note to your potential recruits, you can do it with artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that candidates are appreciating AI as well. There are many things you can do now that you couldn't do before. But I just thought we should do a segment kind of combining this avalanche of technology with the shrinking job market ever so slowly, Maria. It's not as good as it was, right? We've had some layoffs, especially in the tech industry.
Which is surprising considering... we're talking about AI.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you have an AI machine learning guy, you can place him anywhere in the world. So there you go. So anyway, give me your take on the job market and where we stand right now.
It's funny because I'm reading all these numbers and you know me, I'm like the KPI crazed lady. Mm-hmm. And it's all about metrics. And as I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is not right. This is not right because of what I'm seeing. We work in the trenches. And people like you and myself that work with people every single day and we're listening to the stories and how long they've been unemployed, it's not a good thing. I don't see it being a good thing, because what I'm seeing also is not just, you know, your A to B opportunities, it's your C&D, your career and your dream mm-hmm. opportunities that are also being, like, they're dwindling, or they're hard to find. Mm-hmm. I'm also finding that there's a lot of management level professionals that are, you know, their time out of work is just elongating. You know, unemployment is running out and it's elongating, and they're just like, okay, what do I do? Mm-hmm. What do I do? Where do I turn? How do I navigate? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's important to understand a few things that we're going to cover today, especially living in a digital age. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll go from there and, you know, give people as much information as we possibly can.
All right. So the unemployment rate has been ticking up a little bit. It's not drastic, you know, but it is going in the wrong direction. And so we've got to see if we can reverse that. You know, and you know what, Maria, we're doing this amidst this election cycle, you know, all the cases that are going to court. There's so many distractions, whether you're, doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican.
Still there.
It's a mess. Mm-hmm. It's a mess for everyone. Nobody's happy, no. You know, on either side of the aisle.
A lot of uncertainty, and yeah, that just compounds.
Huge amounts of uncertainty. So that's the backdrop, you know, and then you can throw climate change on there and say,
we're done.
How do we even get, yeah, you know, survive this? So, anyway, I'd love to hear some of your thoughts. I know before we do it, let's plug this. You have an upcoming thing at NYIT.
I do, in Manhattan. So at the NYIT compound, as I like to call it, in Manhattan, mm-hmm. in New York City, on April 4th, we will be doing an event covering basically what we are talking about today, uncovering opportunities in the digital age. And it is free. Mm-hmm. You can partake via Zoom or you can come on down. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is just check out my LinkedIn. You'll see it posted. And I know that NYIT is doing a great job of posting it as well. And sign up.
All right, so it's, make sure people know it's F-R-E-Y.
F-R-E-Y, yes.
Maria Fry.
F-R-E-Y. There's a big, massive Greek name in between, but I am the most connected Maria Fry, so you'll still find me.
Okay. And we also want to get an update on the ECNY program, the boot camp.
Yes.
Now, I know it's stocked, but you know, give us, you know.
It's been great. I mean, we've had one right after the other. We've been going like crazy since September of last year, and we are booked completely through to June 27th. So, unfortunately, no programming right now that we're releasing yet for the New Year, as we call it, September. But if you are interested, you can go to our website and sign up for email blasts, and we will keep you posted on all the events, workshops, boot camps that are coming up. And that's www.ecnycorp.com.
Okay. And are we hoping that after June 17th, there'll be more?
After June 27th, yes. We're hoping that we will get funding again and there will be more programming.
Okay, wonderful. It sounds like they're going to need it. It sounds like it's needed.
I know.
The timing is good for this. I mean, thank God you're here, Maria.
Why, thank you.
You know, how many people are you handling these days?
Wow, we have 44 in one of the boot camps that we're doing right now. Prior to that, we had over 25, I think it was, mm-hmm. the one before that. We had over 40 in the class before that. I have another one that's coming up. I think we're going to have close to 50 again. Mm. So it's, you know, and that's without all our private clients and everything else that we're doing. Mm. It's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, what's disheartening is, you know, when you first meet them, and you see their faces and they're like, they're struggling. Mm-hmm. You know, this is hard. So we try to keep it as fun as we can. Mm-hmm. I'm told that I'm funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
You are funny.
But apparently, I don't know why people say that. I don't think I'm funny, but they're always laughing. So I said to myself, all right, you know what? I'll take it. It's a hard subject. Uh-huh. So I might as well at least, you know, keep them laughing.
Right.
So we do enjoy. And so if we can help you guys, reach out, you know, stay on track with what it is that, you know, we're putting out there program wise. And hopefully we can help you too.
Okay. So they could always Google the ECNY
boot
camp, you know, but they can go to the website too for that.
Go to the website. Yep. Because we keep everything kind of quiet.
Right.
We've had so many people from outside of New York try to get into programs and stuff like that. And right now we're just trying to serve our community locally.
Okay. So what she's talking about, folks, is the premier free program out there for job hunters, for people who have lost their jobs, people who are not working, want to return to the workforce. It doesn't matter what you, what aspect you want to do as far as getting back in the workforce. Maria has the program for you. Make note of her name, Maria Fry. She's only been on Jobline about 300 times, and I don't exaggerate. So, okay, let me tell you a little bit about Maria Fry. She's the president of Executive Consultants of New York Corp. She's the CEO ECNY Foundation, Inc., and executive director of CareerMapLI.org. Our trademark represents us best. Workforce development is economic development. We used to say something like that at Stony Brook, too. Maria is the creator of the ECNY Job Search Bootcamp, a program that has assisted thousands of Long Islanders and New Yorkers in attaining employment. Maria works with and creates programming for high school students to C-suite professionals for government, private, and educational institutions and organizations, whether it's through her Job Search Bootcamp programs, LinkedIn crash courses, or other training seminars. Her organization helps lead people to achieve their occupational goals to thrive, not just survive. Maria and Executive Consultants of New York won Beth Page Federal Credit Union's Best of Long Island Award for Best Resume Writing Service and also Best Business Coach for 2022, 2023, and 2024.
Yes.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very impressive.
It's funny because they had to reach out to me like five times because I ignore emails that I don't, you know,
right.
When you get a lot. And I was like, oh, that's right. Very nice.
And I also want to thank, give Maria a shout out. I know she's sitting right here for in less than 24 hours meeting me here for the show.
My pleasure. I can help.
To help, fill a very big gap that we had. This is my first show back after a month, and I didn't want to run a rerun.
Of course.
You know, so I'm here. So anyway, Maria, give me your thoughts. Just let's start at a logical place about how to job. Is there anything different, Maria? Are your people being asked to do something different than they did a couple of years ago?
Yes. So all these AI interviews, my, do I have a story for you?
Okay.
So I have a client, and about, I would say, 4 weeks ago, she called me up after her interview just so we could debrief and I could hear, you know, how it went. And she said it was a mess. And I said, okay. I said, well, what happened? Did you not connect with the people? She goes, well, it wasn't a person. And I said, well, what was it? And she said, it was a purple screen with quotation marks as eyes, and they kept blinking, and a weird mouth that would only zigzag when it was talking.
Mm.
She said, I didn't know which end was up. She's like, when it asked me the first question and it told me to press the button to answer the question, she said, I just sat there. She's like, I didn't know what was happening.
Wow.
And so I said, I was like, all right, well, you know, did you get through it? And she said to me, yeah. She's like, you know, it asked me the question again. I pressed the button. It allowed me to answer my question, listen to it if I wanted to. But she's like, there's like no feeling there. She's like, I don't want to proceed with the, you know, with this company. And I was like, well, just hold your horses, wait and see what the next stage is going to bring. She said, I don't feel comfortable with it. And she said, I just don't want to work for an organization that doesn't feel that they can spend 15, 20 minutes with me just talking to me.
Right.
This is my first line of communication that is not email, that is not this weird thing with these quotation eyeballs. She said, it's terrible. So she decided not to proceed. And I told her, I said, look, you know, when you don't have a job, I was like, you got to do what you got to do. And she said to me, no, I don't want it. She said, you know, it was funny because, and I understand where she was coming from. The thing is, when you're in a scenario like that, of course, look, we need money to survive and everything. So I kept pushing her to just see what the next stage is, see what the next phase is, or what the next step is. And she said, no, no, no. She said, here's the thing. She's like, if I'm in a really bad spot and I need someone to talk to and ask, what do I do? This is critical for the company. And I'm going to be directed to a computer and just go through our best practices, you know, and you can figure it out. She said, I can't work like that. She said, it's not good for me. It's not good for the company. It's definitely not good for the people that are going to report to me. So she opted out. And I was completely shocked because, you know, this is an individual who exhausted her unemployment benefits, really needed to find something quickly. And for someone to opt out, they must really feel very strongly about it. So I think that, you know, we need not to, or we should, really think about the way that we are interacting with our candidates. You know, here's the deal, and this is the thing that I always say to people. It's always a two-way street. Candidates need jobs, but companies also need people to run. So I think there needs to be like a mutual respect there. And at a minimum, let's talk to somebody. Even if it's 15 minutes, say, hey, just want to let you know this is what the process is going to be, but I wanted to say hi. You know, I'm Maria, and, you know, here we go. Nothing. It was an email, then this weird purple screen with the eyeballs. It was just horrendous. And so she felt, she was actually devastated completely. It took me almost a week to get her out of that funk because she just didn't want to. She's like, if this is how it's going to be, she's like, I might as well retire now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hitting in different areas. Now they're now using AI scanners to look at resumes. And what I found out, I did, you know, an hour's worth of research, Maria. It's not hard to find this information. I found out that if you have two columns on your resume, the scanner can't read it.
Nope.
So I'm like, okay, well, that's wonderful. Well, when were you going to tell people that this is the case?
Don't.
So, of course, no one ever tells
they
you.
They don't.
So the resume writer, they put so much work into these multi-column resumes, and the scanner goes, no, I want an old-fashioned, you know, why can't it read columns? I mean, come on. So anyway, it can't. So yeah. Plus, it's looking for keywords, it's looking for keyword matches, it's looking for verbiage matches, but it's also looking for overkill. If you use a keyword one too many times, you're out.
Yeah.
You know, so you really, I mean, you're dealing with a whole new scanning method.
You really have to learn that.
And I think that's what your person was upset about, Maria. There's no human
interaction, connection, nothing.
Right.
No emotional anything. And that's the problem.
Algorithms.
Listen, it's an emotional journey to begin with.
It is. It is.
So to not have that connection, you know, one of the things I love to do, I will always teach my classes either, you know, face to face or even, you know, now that it's via Zoom the majority of the time, I tell them your camera must be on. Mm-hmm. I need to see your face. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if I feel that there's a question mark in their mind or if I see they're like, what? What is she saying? I'm going to, again, say, does everybody get that? Or does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. And then that way I can clarify. I mean, that's my job. My job is to educate. So if I can't look at their faces and say, okay, there's a problem here, I need to expound on this. Or maybe I need to say it a little differently. Or maybe I used a recruiter term or something. I'm going to go back and I'm going to make sure. But when you're not seeing a face, when you're not seeing an expression, or the person can't ask a question, or they can't say, well, can you expound on that for me? Or can you, you know, just dig a little deeper? Mm. What do we do with that?
Well, I'm surprised that they haven't taught the AI to respond, though.
You know what? AI is only as smart as how we, you know, we program it. That's what it comes down to. So you were talking about resumes before. It's so funny because I keep telling everyone you need a normal professional resume. I don't want too many lines. I don't want a whole bunch of different things. Don't even put things in italics, for God's sake. Right. Seriously, keep it simple.
And we were telling them the opposite
five years ago. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I'm telling everyone, I'm like, just keep it clean, keep it, you know, straight. And so the crazy thing, though, is that people are using things like Canva and ChatGPT and Copilot and all these things to create these resumes. Mm-hmm. And I look at them when they come to me and I'm like, no, you got to get rid of this. And they're like, why? And I'm like, well, because this is not Europe. In Europe, I don't know if you've seen, so I have clients in Europe and they have their picture there and they have lines and colors and their hobbies at the bottom. And I'm like, whoa.
Back 100 years.
Well, it's fine for over there because I guess their systems are different. But here, you put that through, you know, any type of an ATS system that I know of anyway. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen? It's going to get kicked out. Yeah. Or it's going to think that it's advertising, it's junk, spam, whatever.
Right.
So we need to be very cognizant of what it is that we're sending out there. And, you know, it's funny because what I'm telling you is simplify it. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple.
Mm. And that's always great advice. Always great advice. It has gotten a little overly complicated over the years, and I think this is a good reset to get people to have a simple resume. Just tell the truth. Be honest. It's looking for integrity. You know, these things can sniff out dishonesty and a lack of integrity, just the same way they can sniff out misinformation. Mm-hmm. So they seem to put all the programming and all the money into detecting what they don't want instead of interacting with the person.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing also is I've seen a few resumes that were created using, you know, AI. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I ask them, because, you know, it's funny, just as a test for myself, I put certain words, write me an article on this, write me an article on that, write me very similar words. Mm-hmm. And what I kept getting was the word navigating in the, you know, the header. And I was like, and then it said landscape. constantly. And I was like, good Lord, have mercy. I have to remember not to use these words because people are going to think that I'm creating everything off of all these, you know, AI sites. And so it really is, you know, what it's doing is taking you and it's kind of pigeonholing you if you think about it. Because again, it is only as smart as what we input information into it.
And we're not inputting in, information.
No.
And I still can't stand that there are no guardrails for artificial intelligence.
I mean, agree.
You know, Congress is frozen on this. Again, it's not political, Democrat, Republican. They don't know what to say. They're not technology people.
No, they're not.
You know, they're a far cry from that. So I'm not sure they know what guardrails to install.
Yeah.
You know? But there's definitely a mix now between what people are writing and what AI is writing.
Totally.
I'd like to look at some resumes that have been done by AI. I haven't seen any.
You know what it is?
Well, maybe I am seeing them and I don't know.
You're probably seeing them and eventually you'll start to see, wait a minute, why does it sound so familiar? Because it uses so many of the same phrasing.
Right.
And, you know, what you also have to take into consideration is that when you're writing your own resume, you have the ability, for example, titles. Titles are a very big thing. And ATS systems are also guilty of this. So let's say, for example, and this happened to me when I recruited, so I'll never forget. I had an executive director that I was submitting, and I always like to speak to the COOs of the background in corporate operations. So what I did was I called the COO. I said, look, I know that in 20 whatever, you're looking to implement X, Y, and Z. This individual here has done so successfully at this organization.
Let's put a bookmark here.
Yes.
We got a few seconds left. We're talking to Maria Fry. She's fabulous about how to find a job in the digital age. She listened to the Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. I'll give you the call numbers to get back to me. We're out of time on this segment. Be right back.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor and the inimitable Maria Fry, one of my favorite guests and one of the smartest ladies when it comes to finding a job here on Long Island. I'm back from the dead, folks. I was missing for 4 weeks.
I was MIA.
I was preempted by the Islanders for a couple of those weeks, but honestly, I was as sick as a dog. I had the flu. Don't get it. In the words of Apollo Creed, you want none of this. Just stay away from people. Just stay in your house. Don't do anything.
Hand sanitizer.
We've been talking about job hunting in the digital age, and the onslaught of artificial intelligence is now pervasive into the job hunting process on both sides, from employers who are using AI scanners and AI interviewers, and from candidates who are trying to do their resumes using ChatGPT, which is not, I don't think, advisable. But one little pearl we dropped is you cannot use a multi-column resume with a company that's going to scan your resume. Now, if it's just a person looking at it, a small company, that's fine. But if you're going after a big company, they're going to scan it, and you can't. They're not going to see that second column. So be aware of that. Maria, pick it up. You were talking about titles.
So, yeah, I had a candidate that this was years ago when I recruited, and he was an executive director for a company, and I submitted him, or I called a COO about him. I said, look, I know you're looking to implement X, Y, and Z in 2 years, whatever it is. This candidate has done so successfully in two other organizations, including one of your key competitors. No, he does not have a non-compete, because I know that was always a question. And so he's like, we're not hiring. And I was like, I couldn't care less if you hire him or not. I just think you should have a conversation. And that's something, that word right there, people, I want you to think about, because forget about the word interview and stressing you out. Think about conversations. The more conversations you have, the better it is. So in the words of Maria Fry, this is one of my favorites, activity breeds opportunity. The more active you are with speaking to people, the more opportunity. Anyway, going back to the story real quick, what happened was he said to me, you know what? I want to speak with him. Call HR, get a contract written up, did the whole thing. HR refused to get back to me. So I was like freaking out. I said to myself, I need to figure out a way. So I CC'd the COO. And then of course she jumped too. She said, okay, great, no problem. Submitted the candidate. And she said, what are you thinking sending an executive director for a VP position? So she just told me there was a job opening first. And I said to her, with all due respect, you must not have looked at the resume thoroughly. Mm-hmm. She said, what does that mean? And I said, my executive director comes from a multi-billion-dollar company. Mm-hmm. Your company hasn't even cleared $400 million. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the skill set is equivalent to, if not greater than? Mm-hmm. And I hung up the phone, called the COO. I said, hey, mm-hmm. FYI, she's in possession of the resume. Let me know when you'd like to set up a chat. Mm-hmm. He got a contract for 3 months, extended to 6 months, and then he got a full-time offer.
Nice.
But the moral of the story is that executive director versus VP. So let's say AI or ATS or whatever it is, if it's not set to pick that up, what is it saying to you?
That's a good point. So what you're saying is what do they know when an executive director does?
Yeah.
And do they recognize the similarity, especially when you compare company size?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say no.
The thing is, a human being would take a look at that and say, okay, well, let me see what he did. Whoa, he worked at this company? They're a multi-billion-dollar company. Mm-hmm. We're not even half their size.
Right.
So the skill set. So there's more levels. You know, right. If you think about hierarchy.
Right.
And that is something that AI and, again, you know, ATS systems can't pick up. So it would be great if people could just take a look and, you know, these are human beings that we're dealing with, people. Come on. Mm-hmm.
Cautious. Be cautious about the title that you use. I often tell people, now maybe I'll get in trouble for this, but I often tell people to use a functional title on their resume. So what I say is give your real title. Right. So your real title is vice president.
Right.
And then you could put a slash and then put a more functional title, which is descriptive of what the job does. So you might say executive director slash not senior vice president.
Yeah, or VP that's not, or
yeah, but no,
AVP
something more functional, something more controller, you know, executive, you know, which gives them a function, a job area to key in on. So it's a little poetic license. I've been doing it a very long time. People have generally responded well
today
to
you
it.
You have to.
Yeah. And so do you do something like that too?
Absolutely. And, you know, especially when they're weird titles, like every now and then you'll hear something, you're like, what in the world is this?
Right.
And so you really need to expound upon that. You know, if not in the opening summary, make sure that in that line, and I'm not a fan of people usually giving an explanation of, you know, what their title means or what the company is. I'm like, just save it for the bullets, you know, just leave it alone. But unfortunately, now what I do tell people is if you have a weird title, you need to explain what it is that you do and make sure you're using words that are going to get picked up.
Yeah. I'm going to tell a quick story just for fun, Maria. Many years ago, when I was hosting News 12's Jobline, we had a segment where the Department of Labor joined us at the end of the show. A guy by the name of Tom Colagero, the most fabulous, wonderful, love the guy, and he was a giggler. Ah. He giggled a lot. So he used to put up these signs, cabinet maker, you know, these different types of jobs, more blue collar. But it was welcome on Jobline because it gave us that other perspective that because we were a little bit on the white collar side. So it was great. And then this job comes up for a honer.
Honer.
I couldn't think to myself, what is a honer? Now I'm live on the air. And I'm like, Tom, I think you're going to have to tell us what a honer is. So Tom starts to giggle.
Oh my gosh.
And he's with that, I start breaking out in laughter. The producer in the booth is breaking out laughing. I can hear him on my headphones. The whole staff, the whole crew in the back is hysterical, all because of the word honer. I don't know what made people, did it rhyme?
It's weird.
It rhymed with boner. I don't know. I don't know what did it. It tickled us. It tickled us to death. It took 45 minutes to settle everybody down and get everybody back on the same page and so we could finish the show. But ultimately, we asked Tom to leave. Because he couldn't stop laughing.
Oh my gosh!
And
did he tell you what it was?
It's a person who kind of if you have a rough surface and you run like
cement,
like a saw over it, and you smooth it out. That's a toning.
Okay. Well, I've never come across that.
And I had never come across, and it caught me off guard, and I was a little nervous about the whole thing.
Well, that's why I'm saying these weird titles.
Yeah.
You know, we need to, sometimes we have to expound on that and explain what it is that we really do because people don't understand. Unfortunately, again, though, you know, when you're talking about AI or ATS, it doesn't allow you, you know, it doesn't know to read further. Let me read further down and see what this person really does. Mm-hmm. So keywords, you need them.
Yeah.
Keywords, you definitely need them. Take a look at the job spec, the job description, whatever you want to call it.
That's where they come from.
And grab as many as you can. Years ago, do not do it today, please. Alert, do not do it today. Yeah. What we used to do was we used to take the job description at the very bottom of the resume. We used to put it in there, like a negative size one font, and make it white. So the ATS system would pick it up, the portal systems, but nobody could see it. Today, the systems are too smart, and it'll say, what is this weird, like, negative size one font over here?
Yeah, I've been more and more telling people to use the bullets from the job description on their own resume.
If they qualify.
If they wordsmith it.
Exactly.
And if they're honest. You see, that's the whole thing. If you're going to put stuff from the job description on your resume that's not true, well, then you're George Santos. Yeah. So you need to be very smart about it, but it helps you with the keywords. It helps you with the verbiage. The repetition.
And it reminds you of things that you have done.
Right. Like when I'm applying for a job, which I haven't done in many years, but when I used to apply for jobs, I would literally take the job description, put it on my blank sheet of paper, and write the cover letter from that. You know, making sure I clicked off all the nine important pieces.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's how we do it. What else do we have to be aware of, Maria, in this crazy digital age now?
You know, I think what's really important is not to forget, we were talking about networking. Do not forget, you know, I was just saying during the break that I saw this individual. I don't even know what this guy's name was. I was so agitated when I saw this. And he was saying how networking is not the answer. I'm going to tell you right now, networking is the answer because it really is all about people connecting. The other thing I'm going to plug in there also is a functional versus a conventional, resume. A functional resume is a little bit different, but a functional resume is not seen as favorable through a lot of these
plus
systems.
Plus, an AI is not going
to
like that.
Well,
either.
That's the whole thing. So I say, if you're going to submit something like that to a hiring authority and you're going to send it via email, great, go for it. It shows your successes up front and center, but you know what? More often than not, you're going to need a chronological resume. So have both, but make sure that you understand. Again, when you're dealing with systems like ATS and AI and all that stuff, they don't pick up. They're not ready. They're not ready for us.
Mm. And we should also say, though, Maria, that going back 20, 30 years, functional resumes have always set off red lights.
Yeah.
The why is a person doing a functional resume? That's the first question I ask myself when I see it.
Yeah.
I'm going, okay, here's a functional resume. Why? And then when I look a little deeper, I'll see they've had no consistency. Every job is 6 months, and it's not because they're contract. They keep getting new jobs. And that's why they want to cover that. Yeah. So they're putting out their skills, which of course it makes perfect sense, but it is a red flag.
It's a red flag, but if we look, thank God you're looking at the documents, but a lot of people don't. They choose not to. But sometimes if you look at it, it's someone looking to make a change into a new industry. So what they've done is they don't want to say what their title was. You know, I had this one woman that I worked with, and she always wanted to work for HBO, but she worked for Travelers, Citibank. Mm-hmm. And she said, there's no way in the world that I'm ever going to get a job. So why would I even dream about it? And I said to her, I'm telling you right now. And sure enough, through networking on LinkedIn, she got a job at HBO. And it was because of the way that we built her resume. She found someone. She started networking with a few people. Mm-hmm. An opening opened up. He said, send me the resume that you sent me recently that shows all the commonalities. Of course, they have a finance department and everything else. And that was what got her in.
Mm, amazing.
Yeah.
So when you give your next ECNY boot camp, what else are you going to be telling candidates?
Network. Okay. I mean, seriously, the networking piece is it's tremendous. Do not ever stop doing that. It's not just for today. It's for tomorrow. You may meet someone today that can't help you immediately, but down the road, you just never know what's going to happen.
I had a call. I can't give too much information about this with the son of a CEO on Long Island, somebody we deal with from a business perspective. And he asked me to help his son. So I told his son what I would have told my own brother. When you drop your resume on a post, you're not done. You have to network. So, but you go, how do I network? Well, the way you network is you go to LinkedIn, you type in the name of the company, up comes lots of people that currently work or have worked at that company. Mm-hmm. You connect with them, tell them the truth. You know, you're very interested in the company. You applied for a position, love 5 minutes of your time, whatever. And it brings us back, Maria, to what LinkedIn was created for.
Absolutely.
Now, what's happening with you? I'll tell you what's happening on my LinkedIn. I'm getting, someone's trying to sell me something every minute of every day.
Every single minute of the day.
So it's not like LinkedIn can do anything about that. You know, we all belong. So if that's what they want to use it for, but they're not getting anywhere with me, that's not the way I want to buy, you know. But also, they're wasting my time. You know, it's a lot of time wasted.
Yeah, I love when they try and sell me, you know, recruitment services.
Yeah, RPO.
That's when I turn around and I actually respond back and I'm like, clearly you have not done your due diligence on my profile.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, hello, this is what we do.
Well, I write back something meaner. Than I write back, I get 500 of these per year. And it's true.
I'm sure.
I'm not even exaggerating.
I'm sure.
You are in the wrong business, and then I block them.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. You can't, those are not connections that are going to help you. They want to sell you something.
Yeah.
So the types of connections that Scott and I are talking about for everyone out there are connections that can assist you. So here's another great hack if you want to use it. Join a group. Join a group and say, hey, I'm so great, you know, grateful to be a part of this group. There's so much talent in this group. I am here on Long Island currently looking for an opportunity. This is what I specialize in. I would welcome any information, any tips, anything from anyone here. I thank you so much in advance and leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the worst thing that could happen? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You are allowed to join 100 groups on LinkedIn. 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so imagine doing that in even 30 groups. You're going to get some bites. You know, for every no, you're that much closer to your yes, and I think that's what people need to focus on. Activity does breed opportunity. You just have to be active.
Right, and you got to fill the pipeline from a sales perspective. You are a salesperson. When you're selling yourself, you got to fill the pipeline. You got to have more and more and more opportunities. When that pipeline starts shrinking and you have less and less opportunities, you're not doing enough.
Absolutely. And the other thing, you know, I actually wrote this down last night. It's extending your gaze beyond your core audience. A lot of people believe that because they came from a particular industry that they need to stay in that industry. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, one of the best things you can do is like on an Indeed, for example, if you're going to use that, look at jobs by core competency. Put a core competency in there and see what pops up.
Mm.
Stop doing it by company, by industry, by job title. Put the core competency in there. See what pops up. You'll be amazed.
Okay. So all great advice. Now, let's talk about one other thing. Are cover letters changing? It used to be a very important part of the job campaign, and when you could be a good writer, it was awesome. You could really pull the pieces together, make the case for the employer, be compelling, you know. But I'm noticing not as many of these opportunities coming off the boards are giving you a chance to even do a cover letter.
You know, I remember recruiting, and one of the things we never had time for was cover letters, mm-hmm. and we would ignore them completely because you're going through 250 to 300 candidates, narrowing down to top 10, submitting top 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to read it. Mm-hmm. If you have something important to say, like if John Smith recommended you and he's in there and he's up there in the company, maybe that's something you should put, you know, in a note to somebody. But this is why we're talking about networking, because that will assist you. You know, my cover letters, because of the way that I teach my clients to network, my cover letter is actually an email.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, hey, John, it was so great speaking with you. As per your request, please see my resume attached. Mm-hmm. Let me know if you have any questions. Thanks again. Look forward to next steps.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they already had the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally feel that, look, if it requests or requires one, put it in there. If it's got a red asterisk, for goodness sake, put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't spend too much time. And please keep it short, concise, to the point, and utilize specifics that come from the job description if you're going to do that.
So my take is only slightly different in that I am a writer. And I write a blog, and I write books. I write articles. I was a columnist, so I like to think that little cover letter, even if it's short, can give me a little edge. You know, I'm able to make my case, make my points with a pleasantness, with a professionalism, and I just know that it's helping. Even if it's short, 25, 30 words, it doesn't have to be a dissertation.
Right.
Right? But I will say, the longer it gets, the worse it gets.
Absolutely. I've seen them where they were like a whole entire full page. I mean, the margins were stretched out, everything. Mm-hmm. It was insane. Mm. So what I will say is that, you know, again, even with that, you know, my in-mail is my cover letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. You're still giving a chance for people to see how you write, how you interact, because right. It truly is important for them to understand, you know what, I can articulate, I can speak to what it is that I'm doing. And just a reminder, this is why I'm reaching out.
So I wrote to a candidate, I responded to their email with their resume, and I just had a question, and the answer came back, Y-E. And I'm like, first of all, am I missing something? Is there such an acronym as Y-E? I mean, I started thinking about it. Am I the crazy one? But I think it was just a spelling error.
It could,
you know,
be.
And maybe they meant yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but the reason.
Still.
But you can't make a mistake like that.
But still.
In a job campaign.
No. Still. Because you know what? What if it was somebody from within the company?
Yeah.
You know, what if that person was having a bad day?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it takes.
I know.
Takes one bad day, unfortunately, but you know, so we need to make sure that everything that we're doing, we're really being very just concise, or being just everything that needs to be clean, organized, to the point, and really, really showing, been there, done that, and this is what I'm bringing to the table.
Right. And of course, if you can get a person to make an introduction, if you can get a person to work, act as a reference, to drop a note, hey, I worked with
brokered
with this
introduction,
person,
yeah?
seven years ago, a brokered introduction, whatever name you want to use for it, always a great thing with job hunting, and still part of the networking process that moron wanted to get rid of.
I couldn't believe when I watched that. I was just saying, I really wanted to jump through the screen and just like smack him with a stick, because all I kept thinking was, is he crazy? I mean, networking is and will be for the foreseeable future the best way to land a job.
And it has been for the 50 years I've been associated with the job market.
Before I was even born.
So before you were even born. And it's going to stay that way. We only got a minute left, Maria. Please give people your contact information one more time for everything they might need.
Absolutely. So the best thing to do is go to our website, and that is www.ecnycorp.com.
Okay, and that's going to give them information about the boot camps.
They can sign up, yep, and then they'll get email blasts. They'll also get our blog that comes out every week or so, and a lot of different information on what we're doing, workshops, et cetera, events.
I like the blog, by the way.
Thank you.
I've been following it. Very good. Okay, you've been listening to Radio Joplin with Scott Possessor, joined by his favorite guest, Maria Fry.
Thank you for having me.
Who was here with 24 hours notice, where some people need 6 weeks notice. Maria was here in hours. I appreciate you being here so much,
Thank
Maria.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let's get a little bit more organized next time, now that I'm well again and back from the dead. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. Happy to have you or your idea on the radio show. Also, connect with me on LinkedIn. First of all, everybody else does, but that's not the reason. We post all of the Radio Job Lines on my LinkedIn account under my name, Scott Possessor. So if you connect with me, you'll be able to see all the work we do, all the radio shows, all the blogs we're doing. Our blog now gets 6,000 article views per week. That's 300,000 a year. When we hit a million, I'll be happy. Be back next show with another week. Next week with another show. Have a great week, everybody. Happy hunting. The four winds blow you safely home.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.